Welcome to our podcast for Raising Arizona Kids magazine. I'm Vicki Belint. He was an ambulance driver with plans to become a trauma surgeon. But when he delivered his first baby as a young medical student, John Elliott was scared to death. But fear gave way to pure joy as he watched the family see their new baby for the very first time. Now, he's a high-risk obstetrician specializing in caring for women who are expecting high-order multiples, three or more babies at once. Elliott's practice, Southwest Contemporary Women's Center, draws patients from around the country to deliver at Banner Desert in Mesa.
My name is John Elliott. I am a physician. I am a high-risk pregnancy specialist. And within that, I take care of pregnancies that are potentially going to have problems for either the mother or the baby or babies in this case. So within my high-risk OB specialty, I have had ability and the honor, I guess, of developing over the last 25 years an expertise in caring for women that are carrying many babies, two, three, four, five, and sometimes even six. So I've gained a lot of knowledge and have been able to provide care over those years that has resulted in a better outcome for these women.
So talk a little bit about how you became interested in delivering babies, and when was that?
Wow, I was in medical school, and my rotation on OB was my first introduction to actually delivering a baby, and that was just such a magical experience that it stuck with me. And
Do you remember the first one?
I remember the room. I cannot picture the mother's face, but I remember the room at Denver General Hospital in Denver, Colorado. And so I remember that I was scared to death, and there was a resident behind me who was talking me through it, and the baby was born, and I didn't do anything bad, and the baby cried, and I got to experience the pure joy of a family seeing their baby for the first time. So that was kind of the magical experience that made me really want to be part of that family experience.
So you became hooked.
I did. I'll tell you, I wanted to be a trauma surgeon when I was when I was going into my third and fourth year of medical school. I really wanted to be a trauma surgeon. I had driven an ambulance for Denver General Hospital in Denver County, and did that while I was in medical school. So I was exposed to ER and trauma a lot, and so it just really was something that excited me. And until I got a chance to experience the birthing process.
So there's that component in you about wanting that excitement of being on the line.
Yeah. I think there is, yep. I think it's the challenge of doing something, difficult.
Yeah. Life or death, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you become interested in the delivery of multiples, or the care for a woman who is pregnant with multiples in particular?
Well, the chance to do that really was thrust upon me. It was not something that I necessarily set out to say, boy, this is something I want to do. And I really was kind of had a phone call from one of the reproductive endocrine physicians in town who called up and said, John, I've got a set of quadruplets, and I need somebody to take care of her. Can you do it? And I foolishly said, sure.
And when was this, to put it in perspective?
That was 1983.
So would that have been fertility multiples?
All of these high-order multiples, when I say high-order multiples, I'm referring to triplets and quads. Grand multiple pregnancies would be quintuplets, sextuplets, septuplets, and octuplets. So triplets can occur spontaneously, and maybe to just give you an idea, about 1 in 8,000 births is a spontaneous triplet. So certainly in Arizona, there would be three or four spontaneous triplet conceptions a year, but there are many more deliveries of triplets than that. And so the rest of them are infertility conceptions.
But to sort of go put it in perspective, back in 1982, there wasn't as much fertility work going on.
It was the infancy of the infertility, I'm going to call it explosion, where they developed new techniques to be able to help couples that were not able to conceive before. So it was really the advent of their technology and their ability to create pregnancies that then led to high order multiples occurring.
So this group of quads, or this pregnancy, you delivered this, you took care of this woman and delivered her four babies.
Yes, and we learned it was something that as I've learned, some people think that if you take care of a single baby, you can take care of a mom with twins, and that's not really true. And if you take care of twins, you can take care of triplets, quadruplets. And I learned kind of very early on, it really is a different pregnancy. And so there were some things that we learned along the way that we then applied to the next mom who came with quadruplets, and then the next one, etc. So it was a learning process starting back in 83.
What do you remember about delivering that first set of quads?
The patient's name was Lucette Lindberg, and I don't remember much about the delivery. The pregnancy went very well. She went to I think about 34 weeks, which was our goal. And what I remember more is that reading in the Arizona Republic that her four babies were graduating from high school and then graduating from college. And so having kind of watched that and knowing that story of how they actually made it into the world was really very rewarding for me to understand that they were very successful, as children growing up into young adults.
And for at the time being born at 34 weeks, that's pretty good.
Absolutely. It's still premature.
Right.
37 weeks or beyond would be considered full term. And for quadruplets, we just can't get them that far. It's just too much of a strain on the mother. So we have to be satisfied with getting as far as we can.
What are some of the challenges then to keeping the babies in utero as long as you can?
Well, there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you have extra babies in the uterus. Just so people understand, the normal time of delivery, the average time of delivery for a single baby is 40 weeks. That's the 9 months in lay terms. Every baby that you put in the uterus above one takes about 3.5 weeks off of the average time of delivery. So if you are carrying twins, your average time of delivery would be 36.5 weeks.
And is that because there's not enough room? Is it that simple, or is it?
It's part of it, yes. Part of it is that simple. Yep. Triplets is 33 weeks. Quadruplets is 29.5 weeks. Quintuplets is about 28 weeks or a little less. So setting that as the background, then we have to set out to try to do better than that. And the things that can make a mom deliver, in our experience, number one is a disease called preeclampsia or toxemia. This is a disease of pregnancy that involves high blood pressure and spilling protein in the urine. It happens in about 5 to 7% of single baby pregnancies, and about 40 to 50% of multiple gestations. So that is the number one reason why these multiples, triplets, quadruplets, etc., deliver early. Following that, the next reason is that we actually just get as far as we want to go. The next medical reason why babies would deliver in the multiple gestation would be preterm labor. And that is a problem because the uterus, I think, gets a to a certain size and the body just says, oh, it's big enough, I think we can go into labor and have this baby, thinking that there's just a single baby there. And there's a lot we don't understand about what puts a woman into labor in the first place, let alone a preterm labor. But preterm labor is responsible for about 15% of our deliveries, and then premature ruptured membranes, where the water bag that surrounds the baby just ruptures and then it's time.
Yeah, that's
for most part. Yeah. That makes it the time of delivery. Sometimes we can buy a day or two, but not very long.
What is it that you do differently? Because I understand you have quite the record for extending the time, the gestation time.
We have learned a lot, and I think it's a matter of experience, and we have delivered more high-order multiples and grand multiples than anyone in the world. We've taken care of and delivered 2 sets of sextuplets, now 14 sets of quintuplets, and we have our 15th set of quintuplets here in the hospital now, and she's 26 weeks at this time, and we're hoping to get her to 34 weeks. 101 sets of quadruplets and over 700 sets of triplets. So that's a lot of pregnancies, and we've learned a lot, as I mentioned, from each of those. The things that we do differently, number one is that I'm going to divide it into medical and psychological. And I think both are equal, and it seems hard to say that that psychological factors play a very important role in the timing of delivery and how a pregnancy goes. But I truly believe that that's true. Medically, we are very aggressive with diet. So and diet is a misnomer. We're really looking at weight gain for the mom. And following a recipe that was researched and published by a dietitian, Barbara Luke, we ask our patients to gain 50 to 75 pounds if they're carrying triplets, and 75 to 100 pounds if they're carrying quadruplets or quintuplets.
That's a lot.
That is
that
a
could
staggering
be
amount
for
of
someone
weight.
Doubling. Almost doubling their
yes,
size.
Yes, I had a Asian mom who had quads, and she started out at 95 pounds, and when she delivered at 33 and a half weeks, she weighed 193 pounds.
How did she do that? What's the
she was fanatical about eating foods that would be fattening. And basically what Barbara recommends is high protein, high calorie. It really doesn't come down to vegetables and fruits and good things for you. It comes down to packing on the pounds so that the babies can live off that fat when it comes time where she can't eat. Because obviously with the uterus getting bigger, it presses on the stomach, and it's almost like a surgical procedure to reduce the capacity of the stomach. So you've got this uterus pressing on your stomach, so you just can't eat very much. So they have to gain the weight early. And yes, it is a staggering amount. To just complete that story, that lady who gained 98 pounds, at her 6-week check, weighed 103 pounds. So she had lost virtually all of that weight, which I was blown away.
It's astounding.
I had no idea that could happen. But so we're very aggressive with diet, and then we watch the cervix very carefully, because there can be an incompetent cervix where just the hormones of pregnancy weaken the cervix, and it just starts to melt away due to the pressure of the pregnancy. And if necessary, we put in what's called a cerclage or a stitch. And we found that had to be done in about 10% of our multiples. So not everybody needs it, but otherwise 10% would deliver before the babies would be viable. Then we're very aggressive at watching contractions. We don't like to have contractions build up to the point of labor. So we try to limit the number of contractions the mother has. And we do that first by bed rest. because activity just stimulates the uterus. The muscles of the mom's abdomen, as she is moving, rush over the uterus and force the uterus to contract. So we limit their activity to basically bed rest or couch or recliner, and they can go to the bathroom and take a shower once a day, and otherwise we don't want them doing anything else. We utilize encouragement.
And that's the psychological.
Here's where the psychological comes in, and it's many of these patients come from outside of Arizona. Probably more than half come from outside Arizona, and they come for the chance to have a better outcome here. We have published our outcomes, and we are considerably better as far as the gestational age of delivery. For instance, with quadruplets, I mentioned that the average age of delivery around the country is going to be 29 and a half weeks. We are able to get our quadruplets to 32 and 2 days, so about 3 weeks better than anyone else in the country. With quintuplets, we're even better, and the average is a little less than 28 weeks around the country, and we're able to get to 33 weeks and 1 day. So that's 5 weeks plus that's different, and those days and weeks are absolutely life-changing as far as the risks to the babies. So people come because they're being told in other places that they can't succeed, that if they try to carry a quadruplet or a quintuplet pregnancy, that they're going to deliver at 28 weeks or 29 and a half weeks, and that their babies will end up with brain damage and other organ damage. And certainly if you deliver at that age, there is a risk of that happening. So the way to try to minimize that is to go further. So we will get patients that will call and want to know what we do and how we do it, and then they end up coming here for their care. And so it's a matter of, we give them a program that says we've been successful and here's our blueprint, and we can empower you to be successful. And there's nothing like a woman with an ability to affect an outcome, where she can put all of her energy into the project and realize that that can help. And so just empowering the mom to say, you can do better just by what you do and how we can provide the blueprint for you, I believe has resulted in pregnancies that go further, and we get better outcomes from that. So a lot of them are scared when somebody says to you, your babies are going to deliver early and they're going to be
multiple challenges,
because if you have one baby with challenges, that's very, very difficult. If you have five babies to care for and one or two or three are handicapped, that's just an even greater challenge. So that's very scary for a family. And so if they've made a decision not to reduce the number of embryos that they have, then they are desperate to get a good outcome. So they come very motivated.
So you get them when they've made this decision to have the multiple pregnancies and they have the baby. So that's done. But
yes.
But do you ever think about, say, our culture today, we see the romanticization of a multiple birth when the babies are born and they're cute and everybody donates. But it is still very, very risky to carry more than two or three, even three babies. Do you ever think about that in terms of when it's all publicized, that people might think, wow, this is a great way to get a ready-made family?
It's a complex issue.
Yeah.
None of these patients, I can guarantee you, wanted five babies or four babies at one time.
Yeah.
They only wanted one child. And due to circumstances of the infertility process, they ended up with more. And then they had to make a decision. And it was not that they went into it saying, oh, please, God, give me quadruplets. It was just, please, after all these years, I just want one child. So it then becomes so difficult for them, and many choose to selectively reduce and not take that risk. It's the ones that decide they want to take the chance because they just have moral or religious or other feelings that just does not allow them to respond to the situation with a solution that says I'm gonna reduce the number of fetuses that I'm carrying. So it's difficult for them, and again, nobody goes into it saying, yeah, maybe I want two or three children, or maybe four or five, but just like anybody else, I'd like to do it one at a time and have a choice each time that I make that says, okay, we're going to add to our family. They don't have a choice. It's an instant family, really.
It's a really unique situation, I guess. You see it. You see that it's different depending on which family is going to deliver, what decisions they make, and it's like joining a club, I guess, of a particular kind. That
there is a tremendous support group for these kinds of pregnancies, and they are so unique that you know, you can't just go to your neighbor who may have three or four children but didn't get them all at the same time.
And
how do you feed them? How do you get them on a schedule? How do you do all of the things that we do for our children when they come one at a time? And you got to do it times five or four or whatever number you're carrying and deliver.
Do you ever go visit after
your
home and see all that chaos?
Oh yes, and you know it's very interesting that these couples become very organized. There's no other way you could survive without that, and they've got it down to a system, and much more than I would expect, they are able to deal with it.
Are you a dad yourself?
I am. I've got four children. They're all quite old and have families of their own, and I had them one at a time, the old-fashioned way, but yeah, I have four children.
Were you there for the births?
I was there for the births, no question about that. I was in medical school for my first two children, and then I was in my residency for my second two children.
What's changed the most about obstetrics since that time?
You know, it's changed radically. Obstetrics used to be a specialty of medicine that people really, the really bright people would go into internal medicine, and obstetrics would be kind of the stepchild because there wasn't much you could do. We didn't have ultrasound, and so we did not have a window to the fetus.
Nobody knew if they were having a boy or a girl.
You didn't, exactly. I mean, things that simple. You wouldn't even know the sex of your baby. We could take x-rays, believe it or not. That was kind of, we could see the bones of the fetus, so we could tell what position the baby was in. We couldn't see any abnormalities. We could see if there were two fetuses in there. But ultrasound totally revolutionized obstetrics, because now we had a technology that could be a window into the uterus and allow us to image the baby. And as ultrasound became better and better, we could diagnose abnormalities. We could actually intervene with therapies in utero to help prevent complications and to treat complications. So that's been the most amazing difference from a medical point, and from a mom and dad point. It's the 3D and 4D imaging that they can actually see an image of their baby that would be almost like it was out and they could look at it. So it's changed everything.
Is that sort of that watershed moment when the mother and father see via ultrasound that they are carrying 1, 2, 3? Is that the count when you discover?
Well, I'll tell you, they describe that moment when they're hoping just one or maybe twins. That, you know, that I'm sure many of them actually hope for twins, because it's an expensive process. Infertility is an expensive process, and these people are generally not wealthy. They are hardworking, and they just are using their life savings to get pregnant. So inwardly they're going for one, but they they would smile if they got two. When they start counting beyond two, then they then becomes the reality of, oh my God, what's going on? And you know, with when you get to four or five, you really have a moment where you just sit there and are overwhelmed.
What is the joy that you get out of this? Because you obviously you light up when you start talking about it.
It's anybody that has a child can know what that experience is. To be able to participate in many different, you know, maybe you have three, four children. I get to participate in hundreds, thousands in my career. I've probably delivered and participated in the birth of 5,000 or 6,000 babies, and so I get to do that virtually every day. And that you know, it never gets old. It never gets old. It's something that you sit there, and each couple is new. And so the birth of their baby is a new experience for them and for me, because I've never delivered that baby before. So to share in someone else's pure joy, one of the happiest moments for a couple and a family is the birth of their child. And so to share in that family's joy is an incredible blessing. And I get to do that on a daily basis. And sometimes I get to share four and five times that particular delivery.
Our February issue is all about babies. Find more at RaisingArizonaKids.com. I'm Vicki Belint. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by Small Change Media for RaisingArizonaKids.com. All rights reserved. This material cannot be reproduced or rebroadcast without permission.